Have a roll call. Supervisor Belsky?
Here.
Supervisor Stock?
Here.
Supervisor Stocker?
Here.
Supervisor Thomas?
Here.
And Supervisor Nordigan here. And then Supervisor O'Day and Carol are excused. Yes. And then we have Youth and Governance, Maddie. Last name?
Tomko.
Okay. You got Maddie's? Okay. All right. I'm going to do citizens' comments first, see if there's any citizens' comments. Any citizens wishing to speak? Third, final time, any citizens wishing to speak? Seeing no citizens wishing to speak, we will move on then to chairman and committee members or any supervisor give comments. I, at this point, have no comments. I will be asking a couple questions that Supervisor Carroll just asked me during one of the presentations to ask. So other than that, are there any other committee members that have any comments or anything they want to add at this point in time? Any other supervisors? I see none. Youth and Governance, anything? Okay, so we'll move on to the number two, which is going to be the resolution.
Do we have to approve minutes from this meeting?
I'm sorry?
Do we have to approve minutes from this meeting?
I think that's last. Hold on.
I had it as third.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I thought that was done last. Okay. I'm going to ask for approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Okay. So Belsky seconded by Stocker. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Minutes are approved from the previous meeting. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. First is a resolution to, I guess I'll just read it. Whereas Kenosha County has entered an agreement with the United States Army Corps of Engineers to restore the south branch of the Pike River between Highway K, 60th Street, Highway S, Washington Road, and just west of Highway 31 in Kenosha County. And whereas the project calls for the acquisition of three land parcels by Kenosha County, as shown in the attached plat plan labeled Exhibit A, and whereas all plat plans and a resolute acquisition of property require the approval of the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors, and whereas the funds to be used for this property acquisition are included in the 2022 Kenosha County capital budget. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors approves the plat plan shown in Exhibit A that is attached and incorporated by reference and a resultant acquisition of property associated with this project. Be it further resolved now and in the future that the Kenosha County Administration are hereby authorized to execute the appropriate documents in order to execute this transaction with state law. So a resolution to approve the plat plan for the South Pike River Restoration Project. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Belsky, second by? Supervisor Stock. Discussion. Supervisor Thomas.
Yeah, question. So I didn't look at last year's budget. What, I don't know, perhaps Jim or someone else can answer. So what was the amount that was approved last year for this?
This year's budget has $2,163,000, I think, is the number, in South Pike for a land acquisition.
Okay. And then that, so if it exceeds that amount, then how do we move forward?
Well, any amount has to be approved. If we bought the land for $3, you guys would have to approve it. If we bought it for $3 million, you'd have to approve it. Now, if it came out to be more than what's in the budget, the 2.1 or 2.2 million, then you would have, we'd have to make a budget mod, and you'd have to approve the budget mod also. All this resolution does, in order for us to start negotiating with the three landowners, we have to get your approval to do that. But nothing can be bought unless the county board approves it. That's the law for any kind of land purchase.
Okay. And is the group in Brookfield, will they be doing this negotiating?
CORE, C-O-R-R-E. I don't know if they're from Brookfield,
well,
but yeah.
It's a third party
that's
doing it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
questions? Professor Belsky?
The only thing I would say about this project overall is that I support the actual South Pike River Restoration Project with regard to downstream flooding. If we make changes where we don't have a bike path or walking paths or a park, I don't care. That always can happen later. But I think it is important that we do purchase this property and that we move forward with the South Pike River restoration, because it's going to eliminate a lot of downstream flooding. That's all.
Okay. Any other questions? Supervisor Stock.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback on that. I was able to go on the tour as well with, I believe, Supervisor Thomas and Kirsten is who I went with. That was very educational. It was nice to see kind of the effects that, you know, not having this restoration in place is having. They showed us places like Coffin Hollow and some of the other places where the erosion is happening at an accelerated rate. It was just educational for me just to kind of see, you know, in person. So that was, to the folks that did that, that was very, very educational. And yes, second what you say, as far as the, definitely it's very good to do the project. I can definitely see the benefits that it would have. Obviously what they did up in Sturtevant, the exact same project was, it's beautiful. I think it will help, but apparently it's already saved our butt in some of the flooding that we've had recently by having that north section already done. So I would support this.
And it's saving the bumblebee. That's where we're getting our money.
Are there any other questions? Supervisor Caro did ask a couple of things. I couldn't answer them, so I'm just going to bring them up here. Was there process and status in negotiating with the current property owners of the parcels that are proposed plat? And I think, Jim, you had brought that up right now. Can we continue to lease these parcels for farming until the plans are finalized for restoration project, and if not, and if it is not approved? Until the plans are finalized for the restoration, and if it is not approved. So I guess the question is, if we negotiate, we decide we're going to buy them, we buy them, and the project either gets pushed off or to the time that it can get done, can we still lease the property out to farmers and have it farmed?
I don't know what the laws are about leasing out property, but...
We do it.
Yes.
We do it. Go ahead.
Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, we do the same thing when we acquired those parcels. We have an agreement with the Lois brothers to farm some of the fields, so it's not so much mowing on the county standpoint. So for that project, we've done it in years past. So I'm guessing there is an opportunity to do so.
Okay. I think the short answer is that on yes, from what I've understood. Okay. What is the budget amount for purchasing the land? What did you say it was?
$2,163,000. Am I off, Chris? It's somewhere around there. It's less than 2 cents.
Yeah.
And I think we got a little carryover from. It's around $2.2 million.
That's fine.
Yeah.
We'll do that. And then, what does approving the plat mean? Is it an approval for purchasing the land, or was that already approved? And it's not the approval for purchasing the land right now. It's approval to approach the landowners, these parcels.
Correct.
Correct? Okay. So that's what I thought.
No, I think it covers plus a purchasing.
Once
you approve the plat, you can move ahead.
Right. It approves us to get to the point where we know what we want to buy, and then we can start negotiating. Then we negotiate. Again, it's the county board that has to approve it anyway. So it's not what we're doing here. It's just laying out the guidelines for what we want to do. I know one of the questions that I talked to him about was some of the landowners are going to benefit from this. And a question he had was, well, could we get some of the landowners to pay for some of this? I have no idea. Go ahead, Jim.
About a month ago, I sent out a, 30-page thing on answered some of these questions.
Right.
And then we have another, what was it, Shelley, Andy, 25 questions from people that we're just waiting for the county executive to say, okay, go ahead and send this out. The short answer to that is when we're negotiating this land, and if you have in a big one chunk of it is going to very definitely benefit one of these people where their property could be developable. And when we negotiate with that particular person, that would be something we would definitely talk about, that because it would have a benefit to them.
Okay.
The other two parcels, probably less of a benefit, but the one parcel, definitely.
Okay.
So, yes.
And that's the short
good question.
Yes.
And, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Any other questions from anybody? Any of the staff have any questions or want to bring up anything? Okay, seeing no more discussion, I guess we'll vote on it. All those in favor of moving forward and approving this resolution, state aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Youth and Governments, I'm sorry I'm supposed to ask you. Yay or nay? Okay. Unanimous. I wasn't at the last meeting, so I'm just going to back up one step here. Has everyone introduced themselves to everyone? And I know we're missing two. We're okay? Everyone was here last meeting? Or Shelly, you weren't? Or
she was there.
Okay, yeah, I thought you were. Yeah, and we talked already. So that's fine. Okay, I just want to make sure we don't need to reintroduce ourselves to everyone.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next one is a resolution to approve the acceptance of a $10,000 grant for the restoration of the Kenosha County Courthouse murals. Has courthouse, who's that fall underneath? Is that in our staff? Is that you, Frank?
Frank.
Is this something that we've normally done in the past? I mean, it seems like it's a routine.
They've been looking at the murals are in really bad shape. In fact, one of them on the staircase, somebody actually took a knife to it and cut into it.
How could they get in through? I'm sorry.
Yeah, with
a knife.
I don't, this was previous to that. They've been looking at trying to. It's paintings. It's sort of like changing oil on your car. You have to take care of them every so often. They've never been taken care of. It's 100 years. The cigarette cigar smoke. I was actually there with the artist when he actually. It was a Saturday, and he was just seeing, you know, how bad these were, and it was amazing, the cigarette and cigar smoke. When I can show you that he just did a little area like this, seeing what chemicals, you know, what kind of paint it was, just to get an idea so that we could write up this grant. They've been looking at doing it, but we've been trying to wait for an opportunity where we can leverage somebody's grant, somebody's money. And with a little bit of time on a Saturday with the artist, we were able to gather the information needed for this grant, and it came through. So they've been looking to do it for at least 10 years. We've been trying to find an opportunity, and we matched up the knowledge with the opportunity, and here we are.
Okay, very good. Did you want to present the resolution?
What do you mean?
Well, I just wanted to get some information before, because I have not been on this before, so we're going to bring the resolution up, get a first and a second. And
then, and then discuss
it.
Motion.
Yeah,
I want you to motion. Motion to approve?
Sorry, motion. Is there any second to approve? So, motion by Zbelski, second by Stock. Is there any discussion? Frank?
Just want to bring up this dollar amount. Really, what it'll allow us to do is to do a further study on those three murals. The one up in the staircase, which is really a memorial to the World War I veterans. This was built right after World War I. And then the two that is above the ceremonial courtroom and then the courtroom on the other side. To really study them in depth, you know, how they were painted, what the restoration techniques will take, and then they take one of those murals and completely restore it. So
there's a total of five murals, is that what it was?
Well, these are the ones outside the ceremonial
courtroom. Okay.
These are the ones in the staircase and the ones above the exterior of the ceremonial courtroom and in the courtroom right across. So we'll be able to study them and get more information on them and then restore one of them completely. And then with that additional information, we'll be able to go out for more grants, hopefully to do the other ones in the future.
Okay. So, Supervisor Thomas.
Yeah, I just have a question. So, are all the murals relatively the same size? I've never seen them, so that's why I'm curious.
Actually, these three ones are pretty large. The one in the staircase is probably, and I'm just going to go off of memory here, we're talking about 12 feet long and maybe 8 feet tall.
Okay.
The ones above the ceremonial courtroom, they're narrower, but they're taller. They're probably 10 by 12.
Gotcha. So the one that's going to be completely redone, did they break the cost down on the consulting part and then doing the actual work so we know what it costs to redo just one mural?
The short answer is no. I've got the proposal here. Let's see. When all examinations, testing, and mock-up has been completed, we will generate a report, outline our findings, provide suggestions. No, it was all a lump sum price to complete the assessment, survey, and mock-up, which is the restoration of one, is $20,000. So no, it wasn't broken out separately.
They probably charge by the square inch or something, I'm guessing, right? I mean, I would guess they probably figured out or what damage is done to it. I would be curious what it costs to do that one and if it's based on a square inch.
I can find that out.
Because if we have to get an idea what the future ones are going to cost to do.
I can definitely find that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
And that's part of, literally, we just spent like 4 hours on a Saturday just doing little pieces just to get enough for this grant to get enough information. This, kind of the full analysis, will help us to get future grants. He said, well, I'm here, I'm going to, he wanted to try to restore a full one, but I can find out.
I got another question because this is part of the bigger, or at least the other project of renovating the courtroom, correct?
No.
This is actually,
no, it's,
I mean,
not,
is
it's
that
not
all,
there.
It's oh, totally. Not the same project, but I mean, it's all the same type of work?
It is
no.
Very, well, it's similar. There are two smaller ones in the ceremonial courtroom, which we would want to do as part of the ceremonial ones. These ones are on the outside.
Okay.
And previous to me even getting here, they've been trying to get them, you know, at least somebody to look at them, what it would take to get restored.
Yeah.
But again, it was a money thing, and it's like, so I partnered with this architect so that we could, or artist that had actually done the micro restoration in the ceremonial courtroom. I partnered with him. He happened to be in town doing a project in Milwaukee. He lives in Detroit, and he came down on a Saturday, and we kind of did this little bit just to grab the information just for this grant.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking, because I know there's a big fundraising project to go on for the much bigger project.
Right.
And I thought if there's a way to properly document this process on these smaller murals and the success you have with those, it might assist in fundraising for the much bigger project.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Frank, is there a timeline from start to finish? I know this still has to get through the county board and all that, too.
I think we have a year with this grant.
A year, for, okay,
yes.
Year with this grant. So if we're going to be looking at the other ones, it won't be to 2024 more. Like, what? It wouldn't be in the 2023 budget. Or would you put it in the 2023 budget?
I believe it would have to be in the 2023
budget. It would have to be in the 2023 budget? Okay. Well, we'll talk about that at that time.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Seeing no more questions, take a vote. All those in favor of the resolution, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any of those opposed? Motion carries. Thanks for information on that, Frank. Okay, so we're going to go to Matt Storino and Public Works Facilities Committee. Matt, you presented three different projects. Has anything changed from when you, anything's changed from when you put these together?
Nothing's changed. I just wanted to make note.
Okay.
When Jim and I kind of re-summarized the projects, under the project overview for the Phase 4 KCAB pumps, it says that we're replacing approximately one half of the heat pumps. That's a typo. We're replacing all of the heat pumps.
I'm sorry, which is on the second
it's
one?
The heat pump. Description of the heat pumps.
Well, what I meant was there's four floors. We've done three floors. We have one floor left to replace.
Okay.
We're going to do half that floor this year, and
okay.
You'll see the other half of that last floor next year.
So
that's what that means. So,
yeah.
Sorry for my but that's what that means.
Fourth of four floors, and this is the first half of the fourth floor.
Yep.
All right. Any questions from Youth and Governance on Mr. Storino's information? No? How about any of the supervisors? Any questions? Okay. Thank you, Matt. I do like this format. I'm just going to remind everybody that we would like to be on this format. So if we could start doing that next month, I'd appreciate it. It's easy to read. It's easy for us to, at least for me, and the rest of the board voted on it too. So, not that there's anything wrong with the other ones. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dan Goff. We had a lot of information here. That sounds good. Is there anything new or change that you need to add to?
Yes. Unfortunately, there were some less than stellar individuals that took a vehicle out onto the golf course on Friday night and are doing donuts and on the greens. It hit 11, 13, and 15. We got 13 basically back to playable. 11 is probably going to be months.
What course?
At Petrifying Springs.
Is that Pat's?
Yeah, and you know, we'll get it to where it's playable, but it's not going to be nice.
You have
handed
the them?
No. No clues on who they were.
No
they
video?
We don't have cameras on the courses, no. And they went over to Maple Crest Golf Course on Saturday night, and they did the same thing to their course. So,
do you have any idea what type of a car it is, or what?
Yeah, we had a police report. The sheriff department came out. They took pictures of the tire tracks and that type of thing. I mean, I don't have any idea. I believe it was an automobile or a small truck or something like that. It was not a UTV or anything like that. You know, so by the tire tracks and the width of the tires. But I mean, they were really doing some burnouts and some. You know, they'd stop, slam on the brakes, and then they'd back up and burn backwards and then go
forward.
So,
like, it was intentional?
Oh, for sure. No doubt. I mean,
if you're out on a golf course with the car, it's intentional.
And they knew the course, too. I mean, they knew a trail that I didn't even know was there. You know, from 15 green to 14 tee, they went through this trail, and I didn't even know that trail existed, you know, so... So they definitely knew the course. So, that's really unfortunate news because of how, Pets was in just phenomenal shape. It's been in condition that it's never seen in its 85 to 80, whatever, 86 years of existence, you know, this year. So,
glad they didn't hit Brightondale with your big September 4th.
Right.
Audi, congratulations on that guest.
Yeah. And actually, they're going to, even on the 3rd, they're going to have another outing for 145 that weekend.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a big group.
That's outstanding. Outstanding.
Thai Golf Association is what it is. So it's going to be great. They rented out the whole course. So.
Anybody have a question?
Yeah, question.
Supervisor Thomas.
Has that happened before?
I know it's happened at other facilities. Not that I have been in my 14 seasons, and we haven't had that bad of destruction.
So do you think they came off of A into the course, or they came off of Petrifying Springs Road or JR?
I believe they came off of A, and then they might have, escaped to the park, but I'm not sure. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm just asking. You just can get in the park three different ways, but if you're coming from the golf course, it's...
There's a burnout going up 11. They didn't have enough traction or whatever, and they were standing on the gas going up the fairway. And then they got to the green, and they tore it all up, and then they drove down to 13, flew across that, and then they went over to 15 and did almost as much damage on 15 as they did on 11.
So I'm just curious if I'm because there's already did they follow the cart path, do you think, to get in?
They were right on the fairways. They were right.
Oh no. I mean, like, to get into the course, they followed the cart path, do you think? Or was there a trail from a parking lot or something like that?
Yeah, there's walking trails and everything through the park, but yeah, they came in probably off of A, went down 10.
Yeah.
Then they got off on 11, and that's really when they started doing the damage.
Yeah, because on the bike path, going up and down the hill, they've got the
metal posts.
The posts.
Yeah.
Would it make sense to put? I mean, that's why I asked if it's happened before.
We've talked about putting a barrier on where it starts on 10, but then they just go in the front nine, and I mean, you know, it's impossible to barricade, you know, everywhere that's on the golf course.
Yeah,
you know, it's not possible.
Good. That's all I have.
Any other supervisor?
Still on that. Do we have any security at all, or even that break?
Yeah, all around the clubhouse, all around the maintenance shops, there's cameras, you know, but they're,
can't put them on the course.
Right, we don't have a lot of
them. What about Brightdale? Just you said you had some big events. They're aware of this, obviously. Is there anything you guys are doing over there to make sure somebody doesn't crash that one, too?
Well, we've asked for extra security through the Sheriff's Department, okay. Other than that, yeah.
Trail cameras.
There you go. And it's a
yeah. Day late in the
Dallas
Shore. Steal the
trail. Well, you get the.
Yeah, I
know. Put them high in a tree.
Yeah. A question I have, without going into a knee-jerk reaction, can there be different types of plantings that can be put in areas? I know we don't like them in the golf course, but. On, like if they were coming in on off A or something like that. Are there some things we can do? Some natural barriers that can be put up? Or?
Well, again, that's right on the cart path that they can get access to. And if they don't go down the cart path, they can, you know, we would have to have a long stretch of fencing. I mean, we've been doing things with boulders this year. We've gotten from the highway department. They had excess rock, and we've been, you know, beautifying the golf course, plus putting them in areas where it helps for with our golf carts, you know, keep them off the sensitive areas.
Right.
But, yeah.
Okay. A trail cam sounds like a good idea. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does any of the supervisors or youth and governance have any questions about golf, any of the report or anything like that? No? Okay. Thank you, Dan. Sorry about this. Maybe we can find a solution. If we, I don't know if it'll prevent it, but maybe catch them in the future. If anybody has ideas, that'd be great. Thank you. Parks Division. Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as anything new or additions, I appreciate the county supervisor's time to take the tour of Kemper Center. It's a vast building. I think we hit about 15% of the building just because of how much and how complex and how many new additions over that era has been added. But we appreciate your time just to give a better knowledge and understand when it comes to budgets, how the county does our capital improvements and our operating costs and that relationship with Kemper Center. So thank you for your time on that one.
Sure.
As far as any other high points, the UW Parkside Petrified Springs Park trail plan, we are actively working on those four pedestrian bridges. We started installation immediately after receiving those, so we're working on the abutments first. While the weather cooperates, that's the hardest thing for us to do is put the abutments in. Then we'll circle back and get all four bridges in, and we anticipate being done this fall of this year.
And that's already in there, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
And the only other new item is, unfortunately, this last weekend, we had to make a hard decision on postponing our picnic in the park event. Weather looked pretty darn poor, and we do not really have a contingency plan for the public safety because there was a threat of severe storms. I just didn't want to put anyone at risk because, like, a county fair, you can go inside. A lot of these other venues you can go inside. We don't have that as an option, so... Last year, when it was just a chance of rain showers, I'm fine. We can risk that, but we can't risk public safety. So we're going to have that picnic in the park this coming Saturday at 4 p.m. So we're just trying to work out the details of the band, the fireworks, bounce houses, kids' activities. But for the most part, we should be able to put on an event similar to what it was supposed to be this last weekend.
Okay.
Just a question. So on the bridges... I tried to look up some of these companies. So MudTech, is that company based out of Madison?
I think it's somewhere in the central parts of the state. I'm not too familiar
with are they doing the riprap?
So they did the helical piles, so big corks that go into the ground in order to have more of a footing, mm-hmm. because that's how you typically do your bridge abutments, is you have your helical piles, three of them on each end of that abutment. then you build your prefabricated bridge on top of it. So that was performed by a contractor. So we went out to bid, and MudTech was awarded that bid for the building.
Yeah, I just looked them up, and it looked like they did that, and then they did like shoreline riprap kind of stuff. So I know that's by where those bridges are. And then Wheeler, is that the Minnesota-based company that makes the bridges?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. They make some, just those that haven't seen, they make bridges out of all kinds of material for different things. That was sort of cool. All right. And then on the installation, so the budget was $200,000, so does that, is the installation of that, is that being done by county employees? Or
is that part,
was that included in this $200,000 budget?
No, we don't track our personnel budget, not unless we cross-charge from another department such as highway, then that would be absorbed within the capital. But for our county staff, our operating personnel costs are not capitalized with that project. We just do it out of our operations.
All right, so we've got, I don't know, roughly $30,000 left in this budget. Is that?
As of right now, that's a current snapshot, so just because we put that on there, it's not the final. So as we need to purchase more materials, we keep on updating that.
But we have all the bridges.
We have all the prefabricated bridges.
Right,
that's
and all the boring and the...
But material, fabric, maybe personnel if we do lean on highway, if we get into a pinch, we have that leniency to use other resources that need to be. So that's not a final budget as we move forward. So okay.
Is there a way to track what the operational, like for our staff, how much time that they spend and what the estimated cost would that be, so we know the total or the rough estimated installation cost of all these bridges?
We could, if there's a need for it, we could have our staff track that.
Yeah.
But again, it's absorbed within our personnel, so if there's a need for that for any various reasons.
Well, I think it would be good to know what the total installed cost of anything is, even whether it's our labor or someone else's labor. I just going forward as a supervisor, when this comes up for our budget discussions, I'll want to know what our total costs are going to be from contractors, material, and our own personal costs, so we can understand the total cost of a project from administrative level to the contractors, what that total amount looks like. Because then we can decide as supervisors if that's a good use of our employees' times based upon the amount for that project.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, I think whenever I'm bringing services to other divisions, I typically just render the division that, yes, I can track it.
It doesn't have to be exact, but I mean, I think any good project manager looks at how many labor hours are going to have to be used by the county. Because everything else comes in bids, and we hold them accountable to that bid. I want to have to hold ourselves accountable to that similar bid process, because it might be cheaper to go get someone else and hire out to do it. That's why. I just want to make sure it's the best use of our tax dollars.
I'll track it. I didn't typically do that. I know how to track it, but I didn't typically do that. But I can guarantee that I'll do it.
Okay, Supervisor Belsky, moderate. Supervisor Belsky, had a point.
Yeah, I think that we get into a slippery slope when we add that. I can appreciate and understand what you're asking, but that isn't how we do our budgeting. That isn't how we do our reporting. And that means we would change our whole budget process, in my mind, if we're incorporating staff costs versus outsourcing. They figure all that into it. I think it's a real slippery slope for us to get into with regard to budgeting. I think we should maintain it as we are currently doing to keep it consistent across all the departments and divisions.
Well, how would we know if it's less expensive to source it out than
it's
do it ourselves?
It's their responsibility to do that, to look into that, to determine whether staff should do it or it should be outsourced, because they understand how many staff hours and what those costs are. I just think if we ask Public Works or Highway or somebody to do that, it should be across the board and county-wise, otherwise it's not apples to apples.
First of all, you got to understand a couple of facts. In Highway, it's incorporated in because we do it by projects, these guys charge the labor to projects. So for highways, it's pretty good. For a lot of these other projects, this one where Matt, it's kind of an exception. Most of these projects, we don't use our own internal people to do it, most of them. You're asking, could it be tracked? Yes, we could set up a project for that, and we'll look into it and see if what Supervisor Belsky says is right. We'll let you guys fight it out. But we can track that. It's not what the county does when we, as part of our capitalization policy, including that labor in there, but we can certainly talk about it if you have a concern.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
You need, you, we owe you an explanation. I don't have a problem doing that. We'll find that out. No, it's a good question. It really is. Yeah.
You have two guys here raising their hands.
Right. Oh, no, I just want to see.
No. That was it. I appreciate the answer.
Supervisor.
Well, just real quick, to the point of, like, I guess we're discussing the installation of the bridges. I know in my line of work, my schedule changes from day to day, so I'm guessing you guys have employees that you can go move them over to this project, you can do them that, or there's certain, you guys are going to be used to the fullest extent. And I'm guessing this is just on a list, and as soon as you have availabilities to go get this done, you're just doing it. And at this point, I mean, for this type of project, for a bridge, we would probably be even waiting longer for a contractor at this point because we just got them. And so now your team is able to install them as quickly as possible.
Correct.
Is what I'm guessing, right? Yeah. It's all weather dependent.
Typically, the rule of thumb is when you go out to bid, the material cost, you can double it for the labor side. So we knew that going into this project, roughly $25,000 between the helical piles and the bridges. We had the ultimate goal of doing four bridges. So in order to save on those costs, we looked at the skill set of our personnel and the availability based on, like you said, all of our other operational needs. We already slated to have that as an opportunity going into fall to be able to accomplish that as time allows. So yes, it is like it is a priority, but at the same time, there's other priorities that take precedence. So could we track it based on their hours worked and which personnel? Absolutely. But going into the capital account, we already anticipated that our personnel had the skill set and the cost savings from a capital standpoint.
So I can just imagine you guys show up one morning with the intent to work on this one project, that's flooded. All right, we're going to pivot and go do this over here. So I don't want to make, you know, too much hard for you guys to check it. Do we have, I know you showed us some of the newer equipment that was purchased by the county. Is that also able to make us more efficient at these type of doing these projects in-house? Did that help? Was that part of your decision making as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're using our new skid steer, the ASV, to clear the trails, also use the auger and get in these very tight, narrow areas, just because they are for hiking purposes, that this specialized equipment does save on time and efficiencies, yes.
When was that purchased?
I think it was 2 years ago now with that piece of equipment.
My concern in tracking time, that costs money too, costs the time of the people, and then for a project like this, to me, it seems like we would be going backwards rather than forwards to try and nail that down.
I'd like to ask our newest member, Shelley, in the city, did they track what their parks department did by hours on projects, or is it just how we do it here? Somehow we do it. Do you know?
It's very similar to what you do here. We would track if it was specifically a huge capital improvement program project. I mean, talking over the $300,000 threshold, then we would kind of keep track of personnel costs. But like you were saying, to do a project like this, we wouldn't. It would be, you know, this person's available this day, this crew's available this day, and they may not be the same crews. But it also, we used it also for training of the newer staff members, so that was a big push in doing internal, as we could get the knowledge base and broaden it so that they had some touch time with somebody that knew what to do, that the newer people had that touch time available to them. Because a lot of times when you hire outsource some of these smaller projects, they never get that hands-on time to really touch it. And as you rotate personnel, that's always nice to have. Yeah. Otherwise, you're back at square one. So that was my experience with it.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Supervisor Belsky.
first of all, I got to the Symphony in the Garden late. My fault. So we had to trek, but it was really, really, really good. And I was just wondering, when you have the food trucks there, do you charge the food trucks to be there?
No.
Why not?
So that's orchestrated through the beer garden. They directly help us, so we don't have to be the middleman, thankfully. We actually, our first year doing food trucks, I want to say it was 4 years ago, and we had to partner with a third party. The beer garden paid this third party to bring food trucks. Food trucks are the most unreliable because they're on wheels.
I have to market. Yes. Yeah.
So what we had to do is build that trust by not using a third party, because we felt that that wasn't a good use of money for the beer garden or anyone else involved to pay for a food truck to be there on top of them getting the revenue for having food trucks. So having the beer garden, having that relationship and the trust that we're going to have them for our large-scale events free of charge, that brings in people to the beer garden where there's a cost-shared revenue for all the beer that's sold that goes back to the county, but there's a certain portion of that. And then for the county's part of it, people in the parks is good. So anytime that you have a food truck, it draws in a lot more people for these food trucks.
I was just wondering, though, if you charge them, you do make them provide certificate of insurance with the county's name on it, or the beer garden?
The beer garden has that, because that would be through their lease agreement with that one, too. So they arrange all those types of technical.
No wonder they want to do the beer garden, because they don't have to pay.
Right. So, yeah, they do not have to pay.
Because any other event, they know they have to pay.
Right. And we are knowledgeable about that. That's why we're going to have 10 food trucks this last Saturday, because they know where they can go and make
profits.
That's
cool. Okay, good. Thank you.
Matt, are you going to bring up Pringle separately?
That's just part of the division report.
Okay. I did want to bring something up on that. Pringle, looks like in July they had 392 participants, if my addition is correct, but I didn't use a calculator, it was all in my head. So about an average of about 23 people per program out of the 17 programs that they had. It seems to be a pretty decent amount. But when we were there, one of the things that Warren, right, he's
correct
on set, he had brought up how he'd like to maybe look at getting pass put in for handicap. Well, there just so happened to be on Channel 12 these all-terrain wheelchairs that Ware Nature Center has. Did you see that?
I visited personally with my kids, let's say, about a month ago, so I saw what you're referring to.
So I thought this might not be, here you go, I'm going to pass these on. Grab. Okay. I'll give one to Matt just to see if he can have it as well, and you guys can share
it. Here. Yes.
So I thought this was maybe I don't want to say a Band-Aid. I think this might be a term. I'm not familiar with it, but I'd like us to at least look at that, and we can research maybe what the cost of these are. We might only need one. I don't know what they have up there, if you can look into that. Yeah, so I don't know if we have a variety of different people coming. That's something Warren could probably answer.
Absolutely.
But that might be a much better financial benefit than, you know, trying to put in paths that'll be wheelchair friendly, if you will, or walker friendly, when they can maybe jump into one of these.
And they can traverse through all the trails.
Yes.
So it won't be limited.
That's what I'm thinking.
Nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So if we could at least look at that, and when you're ready.
I took a picture even on my phone, and I was like, this is the ticket. So yeah.
Okay. All right.
So yes, I will follow up with that, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Can I add to that?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's something our grants department can look into, because county executive told me, I was telling this guy, he came over at the Dutchess Memorial, and we have that really nice handicap accessible kayak launch with the rollers and stuff like that, where you can just pull yourself in and it's off out of the water, handicap accessible, can get in and out easily. And I asked county executive about that, and she said, we got that with the grant that they wrote. I'm like, can't get this at like all the landing systems.
Awesome. Yeah.
Perfect. It's, you know, it's the worst part of kayaking is getting in and out when it's choppy. But she said that was specifically from a grant, so I'm not sure if there's grants out there that would be for this.
Yeah.
This could work, you know, I mean, we have enough county parks, depending on how many we could get.
And I'm just looking right now because...
You know, Silver Lake, there's
yeah,
some
right. Zach, could you pass that to Maddie just so she could take a look and she could see what we're talking about? Thank you.
You know what we need to look at?
Nope.
You can share with Maddie.
This is how we're going to have to get through Kenosha.
Oh, he's put, no. He'll want to put a plow on it for the one. We can do our sidewalks up here now. Okay.
You know who might be a community supporter of this is Society Assets. Mm. I mean, they serve people with a lot of different disabilities walking and that regard is one of
this,
them.
I'm going to say this is probably what, 20 grand, 15, 20 grand, something like that.
What's it cost for us? Yeah, but what's it cost if we want to put access and we wouldn't be able to access the entire... So yes, I know it's not going to be inexpensive.
Well, that's I'm not...
No. I was going to bring that up.
Yeah,
I was going to bring you got.
That's trying to keep me out of it.
You know, is where my mind just clicked. Another option would be, if this is even considered, would be, I don't know if you've ever seen the running strollers for adults. If you've ever seen people being pushed in a race.
Yeah.
You could do the same thing with that, and probably a fraction of what one of these costs. Because out at some of the trails wouldn't be Veterans Park, something like this would be good. Bristol Woods would be good. Brightondale would be good, where you have double wide tracks. But, you know, Silver Lakes, most of those trails are too narrow. I mean, some of them are double wide. But I think if we had adult strollers that people could push, that would be another avenue to do that.
We can look into that.
That accomplishes the same thing.
Sure.
Yes. See what else? Because I'm assuming the non-motorized version of this is something that's like our fat tire bikes for biking, right? It's just probably a wheelchair with some oversized wheels that you can just push through, you know, manually. If this wasn't an option, right? Away.
We have some connections with Milwaukee County and the Weird Nature Center, so they'll be able to provide costs and
nice.
What grants they utilize in order to make that happen. So we'll look into that.
Yeah, and I guess it'd be interesting to see if, like, I guess the Supervisor Thomas brought up, there's other options for other parks that are going to be more flat, if you will. Probably have to check with Illinois on that.
I did have one more thing on the park side and bringing up earlier.
Go ahead.
How much was your interaction with the Youth Employment Program? Was that, I know Donna Rhodes is the one who oversaw that. And so this, I don't know how it happened in previous years with COVID. I'm assuming they didn't have it, or maybe scaled
last year.
Sort of scaled down. But how does that, are they working a full-time job for those 8 weeks that they're doing that? And how much nurturing goes along with showing them the work they have to do? And
sure. So how to back into it, it's Monday through Friday from approximately 8:30 to around 2 p.m. because our staff works until 2:30 p.m., 6 to 2:30. So there's two different groups as of recently. There used to be three, one for facilities, one for the East End with Petrified Springs Park, and then one out west, and they jump around to the five regional parks out west. How that program is managed, like you said, through Donna Rhodes, it's a community collaboration where they actually use a nonprofit partner as well. And they utilize counselors through KUSD that work with these youth in the schools, and they select maybe more at-risk youth that would be a good choice to be part of this program based on trying to, from the county standpoint, reduce youth crime. That's where this really was institutionalized, is trying to keep these kids out of trouble, give them something more purposeful. And it's not only just for the parks, there's a wide range of both businesses that take on these youth, as well as our county parks. In the county parks specifically, the youth are the crew leaders, I should say, those counselors, really help out with behavioral challenges. They're one-on-one with these kids. There's a certain percentage of how many crew leaders you need versus the kids in the group in order to manage them. And then on the county side, we have our park superintendents, park foremen. Way ahead of schedule, we get all the materials. We try to determine what projects are feasible based on their basic skill set. This is the first job that they ever have. And then our superintendents typically meet with their crew leaders and map out how the day will look, how the week will look, what your project goals are, and stay on cue. So that way they were able to accomplish everything that was on that list in the report. And then there's an educational part of that beyond what they have with on in the field, that they do financial literacy training and some other soft skills that they might not get through KUSD. And that's pretty similar to what other community organizations have within any urbanized area. So it's been a very, it's a huge success story for Donald Rhodes, reducing that youth crime within our community and also giving them that opportunity for a job too. So gives them that first job, understand what work ethics are, and then we frame out those projects in parallel paths with that program.
So was this going on prior to COVID as well?
Oh yeah, this has been okay. going on for
yeah. So has there been a way to track to see if any of these kids that have gone through this program have become employees for the county at any level?
County? I don't have that data. Yeah. I know from a park system.
I'll ask Don. I was just here. So do you see that there might, because it's sort of a multi-level type of thing we're trying to accomplish, right? So do you think there would be any benefit to the county, and I mean like a real benefit, like they were a real employee, to extend the program to a part-time program for a longer season?
Well, you got to remember they're back in school.
Well, but kids work part-time jobs while they go to school.
Correct.
I don't know. I mean, like a weekend job. I'm just asking to see if there's an actual need to have them go on beyond that based upon the trouble we're having getting staff in the parks to do the picking up trash or miscellaneous, whatever might be done. And on a side note, can we send any of them to the YMCA to be trained as a lifeguard?
Right. I engaged with the Summer Youth Employment, no joking, to see if that would be an opportunity to...
No, that's why I'm asking. I mean, if we already have them introduced to the county, are there more realistic jobs that we can prepare them for that go beyond that 8 weeks? I'm not expecting an answer. Just give it some thought, because if we already have them in the system, it might be easier to hold on to them and have them grow through high school, maybe a summer internship, if they go beyond high school.
I don't have a problem doing that, but I don't know if that's what the scope of that project is. So we would have to look at if something more to add on.
Okay, the reason I'm asking is a twofold. I'm in this racial equity ethnicity committee, and there is a lack of minorities in the public, in the parks, in the golf. There's one minority, Hispanic. I'm just saying, because I have a feeling that a lot of these kids, probably not all of them obviously, but some of them fall into that minority category. And if there's a way to keep them familiarized with the county in some way, because we employ over 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, I'm just asking to see if it's out there, just exploring the idea if it can go beyond 8 weeks as a part-time thing.
I would encourage you to see if you can bring it up from the racial equity side and then present something. So maybe next summer or whenever, that they can maybe look at
it. Well, that's not the purpose of this commission, that would have to go through Clara and Kelsey.
Right.
You learn things at these meetings, so that's the idea.
Thank you.
Keep in mind when you start to talk to Don Rhodes and others, there is a county budget for this. Not through the Parks Division or Public Works, but you have to figure and factor in that the county does pay for those services. So if we are going to elongate, which we can look into through those types of community partners, there would be a budget factor for that program, so we'd have to factor in.
I understand. I'm just curious from a realistic standpoint of what they're learning and all that good stuff. So, alrighty, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Collins? Okay, thank you, Matt. Thank you for your tour. I hope everyone got something a little bit more out of it than they didn't know before. I know I did.
Mm-hmm. There was no beer.
There's what?
No, it's nothing to drink.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of plate out there.
Yeah. Okay, next we'll go to Frank for our facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything new or update from what you presented?
Yeah, just a couple updates. We did get confirmation from the contractor for KCAB Molinaro security modifications, the first item. That they have the bullet-resistant glass in, and They want to get it in starting on Wednesday, and we're hoping to have the actual install done by Friday, and then we'll just move on to the punch list phase after that. Under Kemper Water Infiltration Repairs, 2022, as was brought up in the committee before, we did do a change order to this project to fix those windows on the fourth floor that you took a look at and replace the three windows that are not salvageable. So we had the company actually come over and do final measurements. We'll get the shop drawings, but again, from the point that we approve the shop drawings, we're looking at 20 to 26 week lead time. But it's in the hopper, and so we'll get that done ahead of any work on that fourth floor. That's it.
Any questions for Frank?
Yeah, just a question. I remember a couple months ago I asked a question about project delays, which led to you guys saying that a lot of the stuff you're working on, like a year in advance,
yes,
and getting quotes and doing those things, so it follows a timeline that you guys are projecting. As I'm gathering stuff, there's a lot of things that seem to be repetitive, different buildings but similar type of projects, heating, cooling, roofs, all that kind of stuff. On the stuff you're getting quotes for right now for 2023,
yeah.
Where is that pricing coming in at based upon, like, for this year, based on the inflation and the projected delays? Are they, I'm assuming it's costing more. I'm curious, is it a 20% bump? Or timelines are giving you an extra 8 weeks out, or what is that looking like for next year?
Kind of a short answer. Any HVAC unit before the pandemic, if it was 8 weeks, it's 16 weeks now. If it was 20 weeks, now it's 40 weeks. So we're kind of extrapolating. It was 9.1% was the inflation rate from June of last year, June of this year. It has come down now to 8.4, but talking to the contractors and the architects that got their finger on the pulse, you know, whether talking to the factories and stuff, if they think it's going to stay at that level, if it's going to go down a little, it's going to go up. That's kind of how we gauge for looking forward for these estimates. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we take the real data, but then we actually talk to the people that are in the trenches to estimate forward. Having said that, that's why what we, you asked a very good question on that meeting, you know, what are we doing to adjust for this? And we did it, I did it 10 years ago when I came in here, was saw where we could take advantage of the timing, and then we start doing the engineering the year before, because the engineering doesn't change.
Right.
Even if the project gets put off, the engineering for that roof or for the HVAC unit is the same. But what it enables us to do is, if you guys approve a project, we can pull the trigger right in November, when a lot of these contractors don't have anything in their books, take advantage of how hungry they are for the cash flow. But it's even more critical now because lead times. If we're taking the big air conditioning unit off of the jail, and they have, well, I don't think they have ICE prisoners anymore, which were the federal prisoners, but, you know, they can do lawsuits, and they can tie up our lawyers because it's over 80 degrees and stuff. So it's even more critical that we try to get ahead and get it during that period of time. But to circle back to your original question that you asked, I think it might have been two times ago, by changing this whole timing, by doing the engineering the year before and having it ready, if you guys approve it, to pull the trigger, or even if not, it, you know, whenever we do it, we actually saved over three roofs. We saved $500,000. That was basically, we got a free roof on the fourth roof. We use industrial roofing systems out of Milwaukee. The president called me. The first time he thought it was a fluke that we, on a $500,000 roof, we came in $160,000 under. Second time, he's like, oh boy, you guys, you know, got lucky. The third time, he goes, you know, what are you doing? And I said, I told him. So they started incorporating in that into theirs for other people.
Yeah.
So
I just want to try to answer your question a little differently. And Shelley, you can help me out because you're watching this. Anything that's ground-related, moving dirt, earth-moving, that kind of stuff hasn't gone up as much as other stuff, right. 5 to 10% maybe. If you're talking about equipment like Frank's talking, it can go anywhere from 10, 15, 20%. If you're talking vehicles, the kind of trucks, it can even be more than that.
Yeah.
So how much we're actually quoting now for 2023, we really can't get a real hard bid on anyone because we don't have a budget.
Yeah.
So we know kind of what those numbers are. But lumber's gone. Lumber 2 years ago went up 400%. Mm-hmm. It's back down to about 150 or 200% now. So, but everything is still going up, and we build all that contingency in, with I'm going to say in between average 10 to 20% on every project. Mm-hmm. And this year, there's been, you guys have heard it, 3, 4, 5 different projects. Everything seems to be coming over. The 50% thing that we were talking about before with Matt. We had budgeted for this year the same amount, a little bit more than we had for the other 3 years. This year, the quotes came in double what they were to do the same amount of HVAC. So you don't know. And so we had to push that off. The project Frank was talking about with the safety glass, it went up. We had to push it off. There's a half dozen projects like that. So it's a weird year, and if you're forecasting, you're never, ever going to be right. And if you were, it's worse than a weatherman the last 2 years when you're when you're trying to forecast projects.
Yeah.
So we've got all that stuff built in, but it's a crapshoot. Hopefully it comes down, or the country's going to have a whole crap load of other kind of projects other than what a truck costs.
Yeah. I saw a lot of components that go into this type of equipment, and some of them I've had 4 price increases in a year. You know, so... I just know coming in that mm-hmm. we're not going to be able to get as much done
correct.
As we would probably 5 years ago, just because of such a huge inflation bump just in 1 year on industrial related components.
We had just the first phase of this came in way over. We actually worked with our low bidder, our engineers, purchasing. Because we scaled down the scope, redid the documents correctly so that we could get them to give us a new price, because there was a price increase coming in August. Mm-hmm. And we literally in 30 days, did things by the book with purchasing. And I was very proud of our team, our architects, engineers, Clark Dietz and Matt Storino. So we literally scaled down the scope, but we got it in and saved the 5% on, a $1.5 million job. So that literally was just money that was saved the taxpayer.
Yeah.
Exactly, because of what you're saying.
Yeah.
So we're doing our best in this environment.
Yeah, no, it's a delicate balance.
It is.
For sure.
But we're trying to put ourselves in the best situation possible. Like you said, those price increases, by doing the engineering the year before, if you guys pass in the budget, we release that right there, and then hopefully we get a bid so before we get it in before another price increase.
Yeah.
If we would have waited, did the engineering, took in 3 or 4 months, which was used to be what we did, and we were, because the engineers already have a queue, so you just can't say drop what you're doing, and then it would be 6 months later before we get the bid out, and that would be the case, we'd run into a price increase. So we're trying to put ourselves in the best position possible.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Anything else for Thomas? Good. Anybody else have any questions about facilities? Frank, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for the information on the area here. Best for last. Clement.
Do you want the short version or the long version?
Well, I want anything that first be has changed from your...
Yeah.
Anything else you think you need to be bring up?
Well, there are just a few things here.
Okay.
The first one is, I know Supervisor Zent, you asked for this map last time. I just want to share this one. I've been struggling to put both the DOT and the county maps together, and the more I look at it, the more complicated it is. So this one is just a layout of all the projects that we are doing this year. I thought it would be better to at least give this one out. Then if we can merge both project map together, that would be great. But, so this is what is scheduled for this year. And I would say we are generally, I'll say 80% complete, generally. If you have any questions, at the back you have a spreadsheet that lists the projects and what kind of a brief description of what the project is so that you know what they do.
Impressive.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. I like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Professor, I like it too.
You know what? We like it so much the rest of the county board members may want to. So I would email those out.
Are these in numerical order, or some of these are done, right? Like the number three, the Highway C resurfacing.
Correct.
That's yeah, it's about 80%.
Yes. Those are all projects that are scheduled for this year.
Okay, perfect. So at the beginning of 2023, when we look at this.
Yes. I can give you 2023, but I would need to work with.
Well, I'm not saying now, later. Yeah. So like when we start.
I'm already in the process. So
love it.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Shelley to settle, and then when she looks at it, if it's okay, then we will look them out.
It's all for Shelley.
Yeah. So
Shelley, you.
Yeah. Like a supervisor, we can put out updates.
Yeah.
Hey, we're almost done. Yeah.
The only caution I would say, especially with the resurfacing project, because it is. Highlighted, it doesn't mean it will be done. If I run out of money, I stop. So far, I've been checking with finance, and I seem to be trending well. So hopefully I'll be able to do all.
Because this is nice. This is nice, because when I'm looking at the reports, I don't always know, especially West of the Eye, where all this stuff is. So like what's been in the report is label number 7, there was some delays with the C and U intersection.
Correct.
And then in this last report I read that we might be bumping the Q and U until next year.
Correct. Okay. U and C to next year.
That's U not us though, that's privately done.
But it's included as part of the
report.
That's been out of the report.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. The other one is Supervisor Carroll wanted us to attend a conference. You remember the conference we were talking about? I wasn't opportune to go because I got some conflict when I got all the engineers, the supervisor, superintendent for the highways, they attended it, and it was very interesting. And there's some good things, feedback about the training and the things that we might be trying as well. Just, unfortunately, Supervisor Carlos, I didn't put it on the report, but I had to report because they gave me the feedback this morning.
Okay.
And then the other thing I just wanted to say, our internship program ended today, technically. So Shelley gave out 2 certificates for the 2 interns that we had. And they told me a lot of things that I do wrong, but that's okay.
Well, they're in college, they know. So.
Yeah, I'm learning from them, so keep improving on the project. We've also had an opportunity of letting the county exec know, so she stopped by early in the morning, which was very nice. Usually we just inform the county exec, we don't usually expect them to come.
Oh, nice.
But she was there this morning to personally talk to each of them, and they felt it was very nice. They felt really happy about it. So. The last thing that I'm going to change is the County Town Highway KR project. This County Town Highway AKR project is substantially complete. They're planning a walkthrough next week on Tuesday. I think it will open to traffic after the walkthrough. So it will open to traffic next week.
8:31. Let's say 8:31. That's Wednesday. It'll be open on August 31st, that'll be Wednesday.
That's what I'm thinking, again, because after the walkthrough is just get onto this item. And then,
okay.
Other than that, everything is...
You forgot the most important thing. What are we doing tomorrow?
Oh, we're doing the... Okay. I'll be giving Supervisor Husky a tour of the County Trunk Highway K project.
Yeah.
I think in the next meeting, I think Shelley will be doing a more detailed review of where the project is and I think that will be a good time to do it. So, but for now, I'll just be taking supervisors.
Do I have to bring you water or what?
Just making sure you're back before lunch, otherwise I'll make it by lunch.
I actually prefer cognac.
Oh, okay. Not while you're driving.
That's all I have in my report. And,
any supervisor questions for Clement?
I just have just one comment on the Highway 50 project. I'm not sure. I noticed it on Friday evening or Saturday. I was going to call you, but I figured you're on vacation or you're on your weekend. So, they closed the west entrance to Speedway. There's no access to that. There is no signage. I know that's the one thing I've been harping on is signage and communication. There's no signage telling people that the west entrance to Speedway is closed. And so you have people going about their daily route, they're coming eastbound on Highway 50, turning right at that 60th Avenue intersection, then turn left at the Speedway, can't do it. So then they go down a little bit further, can't turn in. So they're like turning around in the gravel parking lots of private businesses down by the arts rink. It's already clogged there, and it's making it worse. I don't know how much longer until they pave that or until that opens back up. But I think they like closed it off like towards the end of last week, and it's creating a lot of confused drivers. That's just my idea. I drive by it every day, several times a day, so I'm seeing kind of this pattern of people stopping, trying to turn in the Speedway they can't. So signage that would say, you know, before that 60th Avenue intersection, go straight to turn right into Speedway, southbound on 60th Avenue. You know, if you want to go to Speedway, get in the left turn lane. Don't go straight, because there's only one entrance. It's that north. It's the north entrance to Speedway.
Off of 50, right?
Off of Highway 50. That's it. And that's for the entire complex. That's the Domino's Pizza. That's the. Is rental car place still back there? Or the haircuts? I don't know. All those businesses back there. There's only one entrance, and there's a lot of lost drivers right now, and they're clogging up traffic big time. So that's just something I've noticed. I think it started towards the end of last week. So. So just signage to tell people how to get in there, in and out of there, because it's a mess.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a state that you're going to.
Yeah, but I have some good contacts. Yeah.
Any other questions?
That's all I have.
I just have a couple. With the new Civic Center parking lot now that's been essentially completed, how's that going to be? How are we going to be plowing snow on that? Do we have smaller vehicles, or pickup trucks, or plows? Instead of the large, big ones, which we don't want to roll through there, right?
Bobcats?
Or Bobcats?
Yeah.
Facilities done plowing. I only focus on the highway and sometimes parking lots, but facilities mainly done by Matt Torino.
They actually have, and Matt Torino can show you, they did an in-depth lean project on the whole Civic Center campus, and it is laid out. What they use where, long and short of it, in those parking lots, for most of it they can use a plow on the pickup trucks, and they have a salter in the back, but there's special areas like the sidewalks, certain ones they can use a bobcat because they won't clip the won't clip the stairs, like for the courthouse coming down. Some of them they have to use a snowblower, but they did an entire analysis of everything. And they've got an entire chart so that everybody knows what they're supposed to do. But Matt Storino could fill you in. It's a very thoughtful, very in-depth.
Because I felt that was probably what we were doing. Matt, we pay to have this place plowed, right?
Through our agreement with Kemper Center, Inc. So they have a third-party contractor that plows and sells this. But the county staff does 66th Street. So when we took that over from the city where Anderson Art Center is,
that's the one road, right?
So we do that, and depending on the snowfall with facilities, because they're right down the road, we determine who's going to get it, so we are in a line of communication with either parks or facilities for 66.
Okay, so it's the responsibility of Kemper Center, Inc. for all snow removal.
For this main parking lot for Kemper Center, yes.
And right now, Supervisor Kubicki is doing it because they don't have the finances to pay someone to do it. Is there a way that we can budget some money and help them out?
I think we can talk about it.
We have the modifier.
Bring it up. Yeah, right.
Because as of right now, that's part of the contract, so that contract would have to be renegotiated.
Well, the contract's being looked at now, so.
The actual 20, the one that Cruiser did before he left, said that the county may provide funding, may provide budget, may, it all says may. So it doesn't have to be rewritten, we just need to decide if we want a budget for it.
Okay. Yeah, we can look into that.
If they approve it, it's budgeted. That's the answer is yes. But you guys have to decide to give them more money.
Right.
I'm sure Ed would like that.
Well, again, you know.
I'll shut up. Sorry, Mark.
Go ahead.
Couldn't that fall under like a landlord operating?
Right, yeah.
Was we already budgeted for?
Not that one.
Not that one?
No.
Not the plowing.
Well, what?
But it can be, anything can be changed.
And from what I understand, whoever used to do it years ago, they let them dump right out over here. And I know we're not allowing that now, but it does lend itself to their own interpretation. I know we probably tell them, or Kemper Inc. probably tells them what they want done, but I don't know. I would think we should at least review it. Can you talk to Samantha about that? Because she's got all three of the contracts. I know you have this too. And see if that's something that you can look at and if we can get some sort of budget number to see if we can look at that. Plus, we probably have unspent funds.
They're doing the lawn mowing. That
he likes doing that, though. So.
Well, but it's a lot, and he's doing it on the weekends. Mm-hmm. So it's lawn mowing.
I would at least look at that and see if it's something. Only because it keeps it, it is a park. I know it's still Kemper, but we still do own it, and we want it to look good. I mean, our youth, the at-risk youth that services, youth service or whatever it was called, for they scraped and painted like the railings, and they did the gazebo and all that kind of stuff. And you know, we're keeping the place up, and I would just think that, not that that isn't, but if we had a real, say this plan, if you will, that the county approves. Maybe we should approve whether Ed should be doing it, or we should be doing it, or whoever's doing the plowing, or we should be doing the plowing. But certainly, we probably have funds that we aren't using. I think it's What do we do? Up to so many dollars?
$105,000 now, is it?
Yes.
But that's
landlord like expenses.
That's utilities.
Right, right. But that's right. We pay the utilities and all that.
And that's it.
I don't know. But
yeah.
Is there any? Is that? Or they just send us the bills and we pay it, or that's all we do. But up to a certain amount, do we get to that amount every year?
I think 1 year the budget was 100 and we spent 101, but we're usually a little bit under.
A little bit under. Okay. Well, maybe we can look at that and see if there's a few more dollars we can find. I don't know what it would cost, but if we can at least look at that.
But the contract does say May, so we don't have to alter any contracts.
Not shall, it's May.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Clement?
Thank you.
So I didn't even need to ask you.
Yeah, the only thing I wanted to say, I know you talked about the report about how you want us, like how to put the budget and things like that.
How the report lays out?
I just want to say that it's not going to be very simple for highways, especially when it involves things like real estate acquisition, because the prices are just off the chart. You can do it now, it works, and then the other time it's so off.
Yeah.
So the only reason I'm saying that is I'm recommending that we don't do that for highways. And if you want, I can still do it, but all the numbers will just be just.
Well, I would say look at it and see what you think you can do.
We've tried it before, so that's how I knew that.
Okay.
Ben and I looked at it, and it was very confusing.
Okay. Well, we will...
But I will try. Next time I'll try to put something.
I'm not the Pope. I can't give you a special dispensation. But, you know, do what we can. Okay, and then I think we have.
Shelly's going to give this whole.
Jim, Shelly's going to do the whole
wait,
thing.
I better
okay.
Do
I would say summon your inner rage, but I don't know.
Something to say, but go ahead. You go first.
I just got a few things that aren't on the other. At the last meeting, people wanted to know what the beer garden versus boundless revenue was. I sent out an email. Did y'all get it? And then, did y'all read it? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I finally got my emails to work. I'll look it up. Is this the one?
That was good info. Thank you.
And we're doing good this year. In fact, last July, the beer garden had, it was like 15 or 16,000 in revenue, and today they handed us a check for 18. Mm-hmm. So it was like 2,000 more than last year, so they had a really good July. So that continues. I talked a little bit about the South Pike project. We had already sent out one big, huge chunk of information. We're going to send out another chunk that'll answer a lot of other people's questions. Thank you very much for approving that plat plan. That's a big step. That'll help us a lot in getting that thing going. We are working on a permitting process whereby the our planning and development department is in Kenosha County. We will take over the building permit issuing for Randall, Paris, and Brighton. We've had a contract floating around with them for their approval for a couple months, and we're also just about finalized the contract with the inspection company that we would like to take it over. So it's dragging on a little bit. We had something in the budget for this year. I don't know how much we'll do this year, but I know we're ready to do it next year. Job center, I've been asked multiple times about what the new costs of the job center are. We have a lot of numbers that aren't too firm. I can tell you, I think I've told you at a couple of meetings, that the price is going to go down because we got this huge grant. So I've sent everything into Central Finance for them to look at so we can get a little bit more firm answer what that's going to cost. As far as what's happening right now, the design process, we're not to the 30% dot design yet. I don't think we'll be done with a lot of the design. We were supposed to have it done the end of this year. I think it's going to stretch a little bit into the beginning of next year, but it is going on, and we have the $800,000 in the budget for the design process, which should be enough to do it. So let's see, some job center, beer garden. Last month, Chairman Nuta also asked about the ceremonial courtroom price. He seemed to think that the price has gone up, and he's right. These are rough numbers. The original estimate of that project a few years ago was around $2.3 million. The cost is up double that, but we're also planning to get revenue of about $1.8 million. So the net cost is, we start out at 2.5. It's above 3, but it's not more than 3.5 because of the revenue that'll be coming back. And I know there's a committee out there that's trying to raise money. Don't exactly know what the status is, but I
Jim,
don't.
Can you say those numbers again? So it was 2.5.
It was like 2.5, the original guess. Years
so
ago.
Did it double, or just has it gone?
It's doubled mostly because the scope changed.
Okay.
And when the scope changed, the total cost went up, but because the scope changed, the part that changed, we can get a grant for a chunk of it.
So
but
1.8.
We can't. Yeah, okay. But we can't do that. We can't do the project until we get the money.
Okay.
And it's all in the future years, so the bonding hasn't really been approved yet. But he asked, and everyone thinks that because all these things changed and the cost went up, you still have to net back out this potential revenue we can get.
So it's important to say the scope changed too.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the only other thing I got is I had passed out a date for budget meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And our September committee meeting is scheduled for the 26th. Is it the 26th?
Yeah.
Oops. 26th. So we'll have that meeting, and then the county executive releases her budget on October 4th, and then the budget, our next committee meeting should have been on October 24th. But October 24th is the first night of the budget meetings with the finance committee. So we're going to have to review our budget on October 17th, and I don't think we can jam our committee meeting in the same night. We've never been able to do it. We would always have the committee meeting, and then a week or two later have mm-hmm. the budget meeting, because our budget meetings have been taken hours.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have a large budget to go through. Yeah.
And it all depends on how much people look at it ahead of time and ask questions and get them answered. Right. If people are opening their budget book the night of the meeting, then it takes a lot longer.
What's your suggestion?
I don't know.
17?
17.
Well, the 17th for the budget meeting.
Just for the budget meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're okay with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I cannot make the 10th. I'm not going to be here on the 10th.
Well, that would only give you, between the 4th to the 10th, to actually look at the budget
right, for a
book
few days,
and, yeah, and digest it and ask questions. Right. And a lot of you are on two committees, mm-hmm. and some of you who's on the finance committee, I think, yeah, just one person here. But a lot of you attend the finance committee meeting, too. So the 17th would be that, and we have to figure out a time to schedule our October committee meeting. You can't do it on the 24th. Okay. Because our budget will get reviewed by the Finance Committee on either the 25th or 26th, Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay. Oh, that doesn't give us much time.
No.
Now we can push it back to the next week after
that's
that.
That's what I'm wondering.
And there's lots of meetings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So November 7th for the...
October 31st, no?
Oh, I'm sorry, October 31st. I missed that. Yeah, October 31st.
We'll just have to check and see who, if anybody else has any other meetings, because that's, what, the last... And maybe that's the fifth Monday of the month, so people might not have anything then.
Just Halloween night, I think that's all.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be all decorated up, right?
So it will be.
Well, we won't be doing it here.
So think about that. We can decide next month for sure, but if that's your recommendation, it's the fifth Monday.
Yeah, the fifth Monday. Okay.
I can do that.
That is all that I had for extra stuff.
Shelley, anything?
Sure. It's been a very educational past few weeks. I've spent, have had touring with most everybody here. I got a couple left this week, so I'm learning a lot. I've been talking to them about their operations, their scheduled projects, and we're kind of going over the stuff that's going to be, you're going to see in the budget. So I kind of coming up to par on that. I have been following up on some items that the director had left on his desk, so I'm trying to follow up and close out those items. And I just want to say thank you again for the opportunity and the patience that I'm, as I learn here on how to go. But if you have any questions or want to meet with me, my door's always open, just give me a yell. I'd love to meet with you individually at some point here when I kind of get my feet more wet. But it's been a very enjoyable last 3 weeks, so moving into my third, I guess.
I was typically meeting, and my predecessors had always typically met with Ray the Wednesday before the meetings, which would always be, what, the third Wednesday then, I guess, depending on when the meeting is, apparently. Is that something that you want to continue doing
then? Sure, that would be great.
The last two, so. Okay. So we'll look to get together then that Wednesday before our next meeting.
Okay, perfect.
Whatever date that is. So we're good on this. It'll be the 21st of September.
Perfect.
And usually, typically around 9 in his office. Your
sure,
office
perfect.
Now. So, okay.
I will put that on the schedule.
Okay. Just need to update the order of our meeting. We need to change the citizens' comments to after roll call.
Okay.
It's just slotted in there. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, this isn't to discuss here, but if whoever this would fall under going like for the next meeting, just to get an update on a few things. I'd like an update on the hardening that's going. I know there's some stuff in the admin building. They're supposed to be doing some hardening in there with the glass. But I think at the job center, are they going to do that? Or are they going to wait till they move? I know there were some other buildings that there was some Harding talking with Ray before he had retired.
Frank, can you?
There were some other projects.
Just put all that together, maybe send it out in an email.
Yeah. So that was, again, I don't need an answer now. That was one. If there's an update on the, and I'll probably mispronounce the name, that Thielen Trail update for the course.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get, I'll get Mr. Thielen here hopefully to a meeting. I didn't want him to come.
Okay, I just know that would probably be something that's going to be on the next, on this 23 budget, if it was going to happen. So I'd like to get.
Is that going to happen then, Jim? Can we put in the 23?
The design.
The design.
So I'm assuming there's some money that has to be in the upcoming budget. I would just like to get educated on it before we have to decide. I don't know what the process would be or how we start this, but I think the money that goes into the parkland development should be considered to be part of the regular operating budget for the parks and not at the discretion of the county exec. That's my understanding anyway, that who decides how that money's being spent. And it's, lack of a better word, it's almost like a slush fund because there's no accountability for it from the county board standpoint. And it's over $200,000. And hopefully it grows as the success of the beer garden and the ropes course and whatever other partnership we create in the parks.
We can bring that up at budget time, I think.
Yeah, okay. And then these are just budget questions I have. And
so current budget or budget going forward?
No, just in general, like how it's handled, and it can be addressed at the next meeting. So if we're under budget on something that's bonded, where does that money come from? If we're under budget on something, where does that money go? And who decides where that money goes?
If you hang around for 15 minutes, I'll explain all that to you and anybody else who wants to.
Okay.
Because writing that in an email, and half the people probably already know how it works.
Yeah, I do.
But I'll be, that's okay. What I've been sitting here scribbling. You mentioned it to me. You need to really understand this.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised that it's not part of your briefing. If you want to hang, or if not, I can tell you anyway, because there's rules if you're over, under, in a department, out of a department, in a fund, under a fund. So
okay.
I'd be happy to handle that with Supervisor Thomas.
Because the last year during the finance budget process, I asked a slew and I learned a lot from there. So
I just don't want to be uneducated as we get into some critical stuff in the next 2 months. So thank you.
I had a question. I've heard that this thing, the deal with Bayer, that we're going to get this money one way or another, and I was just wondering if there's some hard figures on how that's going to work.
Jim?
The way it works, let's see.
I think we just need an updated copy of the agreement of splitting the...
Yeah, but it sounded like how, now that split, they get like 50, half of
50,
it.
Yes.
And but I've also been told that then that half that he's getting is coming off the purchase or something.
Off of the end, yeah.
That's what I was talking about before. We prepared this revised schedule based on, but before I can release it, I got to get approval from the finance department to release it.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
And I know Supervisor Belsky's asked me several times, and I've been working on it, but I can't, there's some things I just can't give up.
Come on.
Nope.
Okay. Is there any other matters as appropriate maybe brought up to committee? I think
the only thing I'd like to say is thanks everybody for coming to the Kemper Center. There's a lot more to see, and there's some really great music in the park happening here as well.
Refreshments.
Gotcha.
What are we doing at the Anderson Art Center?
Yeah.
We'll make sure we have refreshments.
We'll make sure.
Okay. Do I hear a
second.
In the kitchen. I don't want to get back into the kitchen.
All in favor? Youth and Governments? Aye. Youth and Governments? You in favor of leaving? Okay.